Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday, the 11th of September. To get you prepared for your vote on November 4, Marquette University here in Milwaukee is offering a very comprehensive series of idea discussions on the issues that are most important in this election. The Way Forward is the name of the series, and there will be forums on jobs, energy, and the future of the economy on Monday of next week, and we'll concentrate on that the first hour of our program today. Later, U.S. involvement in foreign affairs. Still later, negative advertising, why it works. And then we'll be taking our program to Marquette University October 30th on Thursday and broadcast live from the Alumni Memorial Union Ballroom at Marquette with a reception afterwards. We haven't been on the road since Iowa back in January, so we're looking forward to bringing this program to Marquette. We'll have, we hope, people from the presidential campaigns, political scientists, and a chance for you to join us as we do a live broadcast. Mike Goucher is moderating these forums, and he will be joining us to talk about how the media has covered the race. So we're inviting you to this event, which is free. I'll give you a phone number later in this hour so you can sign up and let us know that you love talking politics and you would love to join us at Marquette University. The woman who is really putting together all of these forums has come back from South Africa, actually, to work with Marquette University and in the Office of Public Affairs to put together the series of forums for Marquette. She is joining us to give us an overview of what is going to be discussed and why they decided on these particular issues. Professor Judith Mayotte is with us, and she is a volunteer, she calls herself, in the Office of Public Affairs, working with some magnificent students and colleagues. Her real affiliation is as a retiree, actually, in South Africa, where she works with the Desmond Tutu Peace Center and also the University of the Western Cape. A little bit later this hour, we will talk about the economy. We'll look at tax breaks. We'll look at trade deficits. We'll look at jobs in this country, the unemployment rate, with a professor of economics from Marquette University. You're invited to join us. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. If you're in Milwaukee, you can use that very same number. And if you'd like to send an email, that's talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. Professor Mayotte, thank you so much for being with us.
Kathleen, thank you so much for inviting me.
So you came a long way to put together this series, didn't you?
Well, as you know, I taught at Marquette for some time, and I felt that this particular election season is critical for our country. And I also think, Kathleen, that we have an opportunity to have some in-depth, substantive public discourse on issues that are facing us. And Marquette has always been a magnificent university in enabling us to do programs like this, particularly this time through the Les Aspin students who get so much experience in our nation's capital, and also when they're back on campus are able to pull together series such as this one.
Right. I must tell you, I watched probably way too much news and too much cable television and have for years now in preparation for this election, but I am always dumbfounded why it is that we tend to go in the direction of frivolous kinds of topics when it is such an important time in American history, such an important election, and the issues that you've put front and center are really the issues we ought to be discussing. Why don't we?
Well, I think that in a certain sense, when we have, I don't know that answer exactly, but I believe that, you know, if we have 24-hour news all the time, they have to continually think what to put on. I think that we don't have substantial discussions on television, or with the exception of programs like yours or programs on NPR, that bring to the forefront these issues. And I think that the country is hungry for that. And I really believe, Kathleen, that this time, I think that there was such a divisiveness in that came around in D.C. and in our politics. And I think for the first time in a long time that we really, really have the opportunity in this campaign to get back to the issues and really think them through and talk about them. And that's precisely the purpose of this particular series and the purpose of Les Aspin students at Marquette University.
And how did you decide it would be jobs and U.S. involvement in foreign affairs and negative advertising? Why those areas to be a part of the way forward?
Well, particularly, the people are very concerned about the economy right now, and I think all of us see with housing, with the mortgage situation, with the bank failures, with all of the things that are happening as far as our own economy, that that is really important as far as the people are concerned. We live in a global world. We're part of a global world. And my living in South Africa, I see that we all belong together. And we really have to work together in order to make this a more peaceable and sustainable world. And then when we go into looking at behind the scenes of campaign advertising, for example, we see that oftentimes the campaigns kind of go south as far as biting at each other rather than really talking about the issues and considering where it is that we need to go forward. And that's why we emphasized that the program should be about the way forward, not nitpicking, but looking at saying, okay, we're in Iraq. Where do we go from here? Mm-hmm. All right, we have a housing crisis. Where do we go from here?
Are you sensing, and I'm wondering how much involvement there is from students in putting together and gathering enthusiasm for this series of forums, is the Marquette campus really involved in this election? Are young people involved? What kind of difference will they make?
Oh, my, Kathleen. I am so excited to be working with these students and working across the campus as well. I taught at Marquette before I went down to Cape Town. And I've always seen in them an eagerness, but this is particularly true this time. And, you know, the Les Aspin students that I'm working with in particular, it's a nonpartisan group of students who have hands-on experience when they're in Washington, D.C., both studying and then interning in different congressional offices. But when they come back here, they're dedicated to bringing forward foreign policy issues and bringing about public discourse. And these students are nonpartisan as far as their work as Les Aspin students, but they're very involved in their own political parties themselves, too. And so to see them working together and bringing about substantial conversation and yet also having a deep commitment to their own parties is really one of the most heartening things that I've observed on the campus, and it is such a delight to be working with those students.
So you anticipate, as we've often talked about, we keep saying that youth turnout is going to be huge in any particular election, and youth have disappointed us in the past. This year will be different?
I think we are, Kathleen, and I think that they will really come out and vote. And I think that they will not only come out and vote, they will cast an informed ballot. They are informed about the issues now. And there's so much that goes on in the dormitories, in the different clubs around campus, different venues. There's every possibility for students to register to vote. They're encouraged to vote, to take part in the political process, and I just think that Marquette is doing an exceptional job, and I would guess that campuses across the country are doing the same thing that Marquette is doing as far as enabling students to really become involved in the political process.
Professor Mayotte, tell me when it is that we become actually very keenly attuned to an election. We've been at this for, 2 years, which seems like a very long period of time. Is the nation and our students just starting to tune into this election?
I think now I have to say that I have just come from Cape Town, so I've been out of the country, for the last 4 years, actually. So I did not get in. I wasn't in tune during the primaries as much. I mean, in tune with the country as
right.
much as I am now. I think that they have been thinking about this. The primaries were important on the campus and on campuses around the country. But I think that as we come down to these last 6 weeks now, mm-hmm. really, that it will be much more heightened than it was.
Tell me how you wound up working in South Africa, and would you please tell me a little bit more, because I'm very interested. We need to do a show with you before you go back, or when you're there, your work with the Desmond Tutu Peace Center.
Well, Kathleen, I worked with refugees for years, and I was on your program in
right.
regard to the Taliban and why they emerged back in 2001, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I always wondered how you get ahead of wars, how you prevent them from happening to begin with. And this Desmond Tutu Peace Center, I was fortunate enough to meet the Archbishop and Chris Arons, who was the first executive director, and they asked if I wanted to become involved, and I did. And then when I taught at Marquette, again, the magnificence of Marquette, thought a semester abroad program would be good for the Marquette students. And so with the help of so many on that campus, we initiated the South Africa Service Learning Program, where Marquette students and others go for a semester abroad in South Africa, and we're affiliated both with the Desmond Tutu Peace Center and the University of the Western Cape. And those students then do service also besides studying at the University of the Western Cape and the Peace Center. They do service 2 full days a week in community organizations. And so then when I finished, you know, initiating that program, I retired to South Africa. I've always loved the African continent, and I am volunteering my time with the Peace Center and the University of the Western Cape.
Mm-hmm. Just to, before we get the details on when these forums are, we talked to you on September 11, 7 years after the horrors of this day, and we find ourselves 7 years later with a resurgence of the Taliban. Can you just tell me a little bit about any progress that we have made? It seems as though it may not be very substantial, and we're facing, I remember all the talk shows we did about winning the hearts and minds of people in that part of the world, and here we are with a situation that's not very good.
Well, you know, Kathleen, if we go back, one of the things that I said many years ago is that the Taliban need never have been. Had we helped in the redevelopment of that country after the Soviets pulled out, and even as we went in after September 11th, we never, you know, most of the U.S. Forces were much more around Kabul and that area rather than in the areas where the Taliban had been strong, down more in Kandahar and Helmand and those areas of Afghanistan. And I think that probably we did not, again, focus where we needed to focus. I happen to be one that thought that the Iraq war was foolish to begin with, was an unjust war, and we should never have gone in there, and we should have focused on the rebuilding and the stabilizing of Afghanistan. So I think that we've not gone in the right direction from the get-go, and that we have a lot to rethink as far as our policy is concerned. Certainly, taking the lives of civilians and that in Afghanistan is not helping us in any way. So I think that any new administration is going to have to rethink how we relate to Afghanistan and Pakistan, as a matter of fact, because those tribal areas in Pakistan are very remote. They have been more independent from the Pakistani government for years, and so it's a really hard place to deal with as far as Pakistan is concerned.
Right. And it's an issue that should be front and center. There's a new president of the country who
yes.
there are some questions about him, and we should be deeply involved in deep discussions about all of this. All right, so the forums start next Monday already, right?
Oh, they do, Kathleen.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm so grateful to Marquette and to the Les Aspin students.
Great. We'll tell everybody how they can get ready for this, and I imagine that it's open to the public. It's okay for me to announce this,
yes,
right?
Yes. What we want is that, I mean, the idea of this was not only the Marquette community, but the Milwaukee community
right.
Itself, that we want to invite people to come in and have a conversation. And so the participants, the panelists, And we have incredible people. You're going to be talking with Dr. Chaudhry in just a few moments. We really have some perceptive people who are going to look at the way forward for us, and they will help us with their expertise, but we will open this up as a town hall forum for conversation with the audience. And so it is open to the Milwaukee community and to the Marquette community, and we invite people to come and join in a in public discourse around the issues that are critical to this election.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for being with us.
Kathleen, thank you so much.
Joining us just to talk about, give us an overall sense of these forums, Professor Judith Mayotte. She taught at Marquette for a number of years, and she is now, she came back to help organize this series of forums. She is living in South Africa, working with the Desmond Tutu Peace Center and the University of the Western Cape. The Way Forward is the name of the series. The first forum is this coming Monday, September 15 at 5:30 in the evening in the Alumni Memorial Union, Room 163. Respected journalist in Milwaukee, Mike Goucher, will be moderating these forums. There will be three of them, and you are invited. It's open. You can go beyond Milwaukee. I know we reach beyond Milwaukee. So if you're interested in serious, important conversation about issues that are a part of this presidential election, you can call the Marquette University Office of Public Affairs, 288-7491. That's area code 414, 288-7491. And if you can handle a couple of phone numbers at the same time, which I know you can because you're smart, Thursday, October 30th, we will broadcast as part of this series. We will take our show to Marquette University, to the Alumni Memorial Union Ballroom, and we'll have a reception afterward. I remember when we went to Iowa, we asked you to bring chocolate cake, to tell you the truth. I remember, and you did, and we had such a good time. I don't know if we'll do that again this time. But if you would like to come to that live broadcast, we'd love to see you. We've been talking politics for years now, and what a treat it would be to have you in the audience as well. So we need to know how many people will be coming. Marquette students will be there, of course. We'll have panelists, and we'll be talking with people from the presidential campaigns. So if you'd like more details about our broadcast or to sign up, it's a free event. Call 414-227-2047 and talk to Katie. 414-227-2047. Katie Mattson will be taking your phone call. We'll pause for just a moment and really delve into the economy, one of the major issues of our times. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The remainder of the hour, we focus on the major issues before the first forum at Marquette University, The Way Forward, Jobs, Energy, and the Future of the Economy. Professor Abdur Chaudhry is our guest, recently returned to Marquette University from being the chief economist of the United Nations Economic Commission in Europe for the past 5 years. He has served as the director of the Master of Science in Applied Economics program at Marquette, was a senior Fulbright scholar in Bangkok, Thailand, a visiting professor with Johns Hopkins University in 1996, and a senior researcher with the Central Bank of Finland. He's been all over the world. He's published extensively in professional journals and various media outlets, and his special areas of interest and expertise are U.S. macroeconomy, international finance, global economic issues. We'll be welcoming phone calls for Professor Chaudhry, and our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, for you to join our conversation. Professor Chaudhry, hello. Thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me on your program.
Thank you. We're delighted to. Would you say that the number, and I guess you could go beyond the United States, but the number one issue, and it appears to be to people in terms of not having jobs that pay enough to put food on the table, people worried about the global economy, jobs going overseas, people worried about a trade deficit, their housing costs. Is that the issue that is really defining this election, and if not, should it be?
I think it should be the issue. The U.S. economy is at a crossroad at this point. There are a number of, you know, problems that you have just mentioned, which basically needs to be dealt with by the next administration, whoever is elected in November. And these are the things that affect everyone in this country. at various levels. And this is something that needs to be, I think, the major issue that needs to be discussed during the next 2 months.
We heard during the news from National Public Radio at the top of the hour that the trade deficit has worsened in this country. Can you discuss that? It's not something that receives a whole lot of attention. What does it mean for us to have such a worsening trade deficit?
Yes. This morning, the figures for July just came out, and trade deficit for the month of July is $62 billion, which is slightly higher than what we saw in the month of June. Now, basically, the reason for this increase in trade deficit for July is our import bill. Our import bill has increased, and that has and that is due to the energy cost. And now the problem with trade deficit being this high is that it is bringing down our GDP growth rate. Okay, and what I'm seeing here is that recently the GDP growth rate for the second quarter, which ended in June, was 3.3%, which was higher than what most people had expected. But for the third quarter, we are expecting a much lower growth rate of GDP, and that is really concerning for the U.S. economy.
Mm-hmm. The other issue that's been front and center, and I don't completely understand it, so give me an answer that I can understand. The Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac situation, the government helping them out, why was it necessary to do that? Did the government do the right thing? And what does that say about the fragile nature of financial institutions?
Okay. Let me take your questions one at a time. Did the government do the right thing? I would say that in the short term, the government had no other option. Basically, if the government had let Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae fail, that would have had a devastating impact on the economy. So basically, the government had no other option but bail them out because they hold more than $5 trillion of in the housing mortgage market. Now, the question that needs to be asked at this point is, what do we do? Okay, and this is, I think, that both the Democrats and the Republicans in the Congress needs to take a hard look at. The way Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, they were developed, they were trying to have best of both worlds. Okay, they were, in some sense, a public institution, okay, where, you know, they could get the guarantee from the government. At the same time, they were also acting as a private institution where they could earn profits. So this is something I think the next Congress has to take a look at, that if the next institution that they have, if it's a public institution, then they shouldn't be allowed to make profit in the financial market. On the other hand, if it's a private institution, then they shouldn't be guaranteed, you know, frequent bailouts by the government.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that needs to be worked out in the long term. But in the short term, I think the government had no option but mm-hmm. to bail them out.
Yeah. And what about the housing market? So many people have so much of their savings in their houses. Has the situation improved at all? What will help people be able to sell their house for a little bit more than they paid for it?
Now, the situation has not improved. Mm. But one thing I can say that it's not getting worse compared to, let's say, what we saw in June, July. Okay, so that's a positive sign. What I expect is going to happen is the housing market will remain like this for at least the next 6 months. And then sometime in 2009, it will start moderating a little bit. But it will stay like this for at least another 2 to 3 quarters.
And what will make it moderate in 2009?
One of the things that is going to happen is as the GDP starts to go up, consumer income starts to increase, which I expect to see happening sometime in 2009. That's when I think the housing market will also start to go up at around the same time.
Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering, among people who aren't making a whole lot of money in this country, you look at what's happened with prices at the grocery store, prices for food, prices for the things that we buy every day. They really have gone up. It may be a quarter, it may be a dollar, but when you look at the amount of money that you make on the job and your increase in salary isn't very significant, I'm really wondering how many people are hurting in this country, Professor Chatterjee.
I would say a lot. What we have seen in the last couple of months is that, on one hand, as you said, our income has not increased, wages have not gone up. On the other hand, unemployment has increased,
right.
Price level has increased. So we are being pushed from both sides. You know, our income is not going up, but our spending is increasing. So we have been sort of squeezed from both sides. And it is hurting. I would say the majority of the people in this country are worse off today than they were at any point in time in the previous, I think, couple of years.
Mm-hmm. So what will make things better?
Whoever is elected in November, I think, has to take some drastic steps in reviving the job market. They have to take some specific steps in bringing the housing market from the negative to the positive side, take some energy policy. So they have to take some specific steps, and I can mention a few that I think are essential.
Okay.
For the new administration. For example, one of the things that they need to do is they need to provide more incentive for small entrepreneurs to create new business and new jobs. So because we have this high unemployment rate, and that needs to be tackled. The new administration, they have to encourage companies to increase their investments in research and development, increase funding for science and technology. So that's something they need to do. And also, we need to invest in educating our workforce for the future.
Hmm.
And that we are not doing as well as we should. And this is something that we need to do because we are in a globalized economy now. We are competing with other countries who are doing well. So we need to educate our workforce for the future. And infrastructure development, that's another thing that needs to be taken up by the next administration.
And the education needs to be geared towards science and math, would you say?
I would say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Things that make us more competitive in the global market.
One of the mantras that came from the Republican National Convention, and the Democrats seem to be in favor of some kind of offshore drilling. I'm not sure how specific they've been. But the mantra was drill, baby, drill, that would lower lower energy costs for us, and it's something we need to do to help the average American family. What do you think about that?
That's a soundbite I don't think has much economic relevance, to be honest. Let's assume for the sake of discussion that we decide to start drilling today. Okay. The first impact on the economy will be felt at least 10 to 12 years down the road. Okay. So drilling is no solution to the energy problem that we have at this point. Okay. I think there are a couple of other things that we need to look at for what we can do right now so that we can help the consumers within the next couple of months, for example. Okay, alternate energy plan is something that I think needs to be looked at. How we can make more efficient cars, that's another thing we can look at. So those are the things I think are more immediate concerns rather than drilling, which I think will not have any immediate impact on the market.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think the American markets, Professor Chowdhury, were so far behind the eight ball in putting on the market efficient cars? Why did they let it go to the Japanese primarily? Why didn't they look ahead?
Yeah, this is something that maybe Detroit can answer better. But I think the Japanese were much more market savvy,
mm-hmm.
and they knew which market to look at. So we have to give credit to the Japanese on this area.
Right. The other big disagreement between Republicans and Democrats is tax breaks and who we tax in this country in order to fund programs, et cetera. Obama has talked about a tax break for middle Americans, and some of that would come from the tax breaks that have been given to the upper 10%. What are your thoughts about taxes?
We do need to give tax breaks. Now, the question is, giving tax, but both candidates are talking about, you know, providing tax breaks to certain groups. Now, which tax breaks would have a greater impact on the economy? Personally, I think giving tax breaks to a majority of the population will have a greater impact on the economy than giving tax breaks to only a few. So in that regard, I would say giving tax breaks to the middle class would have a more greater impact on the economy. It'll have a more lasting impact on the economy because they're the ones that are hurting at this point.
Mm-hmm. We're going to welcome phone calls. Our guest this remainder of the show is Professor Abdur Chowdhury. He has recently returned to Marquette University. He was the chief economist of the United Nations Economic Commission in Europe for the past 5 years, served as the director of the Master of Science in Applied Economics program at Marquette University, was a senior Fulbright scholar in Thailand, a visiting professor with Johns Hopkins University, and we are here. He will be one of the panelists at the Marquette Forum, getting everybody ready for that big presidential election. They're doing four in their series, The Way Forward. On Monday of this week, it is jobs, energy, and the future of the economy. It's at 5:30 in the Alumni Memorial Union, room 163. We welcome your phone calls now, and our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. And if you'd like to send an email, that's talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. More information about all of these forums. The second one is U.S. involvement in foreign affairs. The third is negative advertising, why it works. And the fourth, we'll be taking our show to Marquette University. We hope to have presidential candidates, if they happen to be in Wisconsin on that day, or representatives of various campaigns to join us at a forum and to invite you as well to this forum, in addition to Marquette students and Marquette faculty. So please join us. If you want to join us, our phone number to get tickets, they are free, but we need to know how many people are coming, is 414-227-2047 for more details. That's 414-227-2047. We broadcast live Thursday, October 30th, right before the election, from 9 to 11. All right, to your calls in a moment. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Second hour of our program this Thursday, the 11th of September, Steven Pinker will be joining us. His latest book is The Stuff of Thought, Language as a Window to Human Nature. Let's go to phone calls now for Professor Abdur Chowdhury, and let's start our calls with Bud from Sturgeon Bay. Hi, Bud.
Hi, Kathy. How are you? Nice show again.
Thank you.
Professor, I'm curious. You're a very intelligent man, and I'm wondering what the intelligentsia thinks of, if they have discussions of sustainability as opposed to growth. You can't continuously grow your economy and get bigger and bigger and bigger and usurp more resources. Do you and your colleagues ever speak to each other about the need possibly for balancing the ledger the other way, reducing our numbers as a species maybe, or reducing the economic size to a more sustainable level?
Yes, that's basically a concern for many people now, that we are growing, but the question is, can we sustain this growth, and at what level we can sustain this growth? So that is a major concern, I would say, yes. And there is a lot of discussion going on this among policymakers, economists, academicians, that can we sustain the growth that we have attained?
And thanks very much, Bud, for your call. Rich from Sullivan, hi.
Thanks, Kathleen. Two excellent guests in a row. I'm being distracted, and not by these guests, but by the nature of the campaign. And some of the people whom I wouldn't expect to be listening to, like T. Boone Pickens, are actually talking some sense and saying in self-financed ads, America, this is an energy crisis we cannot drill our way out of. And your professor, whose name I'm sorry, I find hard to pronounce, but I want to be respectful, is talking a great deal of sense, because economists are going to be the ones who lead the politicians in a certain direction. And T. Boone Pickens wants centralized energy. That is, he wants wind farms in the panhandle of Texas and a distribution system that is nothing at all like solarized electric generation on rooftops in every household in America, where there would be true energy independence with each of us homeowners feeding electricity back into the grid. I mean, it could be a massive Manhattan-style project. Instead, what I'm being asked to pay attention to is what Barack Obama's pastor said some years ago, and also witnessing a level of deference to Sarah Palin, who seems to be a very nice woman, but belongs to a congregation whose belief systems seem to be unexamined by the media. I mean, they're going to get Charlie Gibson in edited interview format to tell us what Sarah Palin is about. So first, thank you for the program. I'm going to call and be part of these forums as an audience member, but I think a lot of people in the academic community and people who are serious about issues are being fooled, because the American people actually do listen to an age of advertising as opposed to an age of information. Mm. And I think your professor will know what I'm talking about mm-hmm. there, that we need information, but what we're getting is an ad campaign.
Right. I agree with you. Do you agree with that, Professor Chowdhury?
I fully agree with you. In mm-hmm. this age of, you know, 24-hour cable news, we basically live on sound from one soundbite to another,
right.
And those are the things that sell. So the hard issues that we need to face, those are the ones that are pushed on the back burner. I fully agree with it.
Mm-hmm. So how do we change that? I mean, is there a way to change that?
There needs to be a serious discussion among people like, you know, who think that these are the issues that needs to be addressed, and we need to raise our voice, you know, tell the politicians that, you know, we don't want to listen about, you know, some petty issues that has no relevance for national economy or national security, but we
right.
need to discuss, you know, the real issues that affect everyday Americans.
Right. I mean, it reached a level of absurdity yesterday with this lipstick on a pig.
Yes.
I couldn't believe it. It went on and on and on and on all of the shows. It was just a bit much.
I think we have too many cable news, and they need things to fill up their programs. So.
I think you're right. Thanks very much, Rich, for your call. We go to Harry from Manitowoc next. Hi, Harry.
Hi, Joyce. Good morning. I have a question for the professor concerning our international financial situation here in the U.S. I read recently that approximately a year from election time, the IMF is going to reappraise our ability to borrow and repay debt. Since most of our financing coming into this country as a country is from abroad, what could this mean in terms of our financial stability? None of the candidates are talking about this. Is this just an erratic thing that I've read about? But is there a possibility this could have some effect? Joyce, thank you. I'll take my response over the air, okay?
Okay. I just want to let you know I'm Kathleen, so, but it's all right. All right, Professor?
Thanks for the question. Basically, what IMF said and what they do regularly is evaluate the credit situation in each and every country, and they do it on an annual basis. And as part of that, they will be looking at the U.S. Debt situation. Our national debt is quite high. And so they will basically, you know, suggest some, they'll come up with a list of suggestions. Now, as far as IMF is concerned, usually what we have seen in the past is that their suggestions don't have much impact on Washington, to be honest. They do come up with suggestions from time to time, but since we do not borrow money from IMF, we actually give money to IMF. So their suggestions are not taken very seriously in Washington. Okay, so from that perspective, whatever IMF says a year down the road will raise some issues, but it won't have any tangible impact on U.S. debt condition.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me, please, Professor Chowdhury, what spending a very large amount of money in Iraq to fight a war and in Afghanistan, but Iraq is even more money, how this figures into the U.S. economy? Is it a big deal? Does it take money away from other things, and what may they be? If we had that money available to us, what would we do with it?
Yes, at this point, it does make a big deal. And the reason for this is now, on average, we are spending about $10 billion on a monthly basis, on average, in Iraq. recent figures that just came out, I think yesterday, shows that this year we have a budget deficit of $407 billion,
mm-hmm.
the highest that we have seen in, I would say, last two, 3 decades. Next year, it's supposed to go up even more. So what is happening is this funding this war in Iraq is directly having an impact on government spending and our budget deficits. So higher budget deficits mean we are borrowing more from the international market. So we are more indebted to China and Japan now than we were, let's say, a year ago. Okay. So these foreign wars do have an impact. Now, what could we have done with this money that we are spending in Iraq? Obviously, some of the money could have been spent on infrastructure development here, creating jobs for Americans here. So I would say it could have been used in a more productive way in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. We go to Ed from West Allis. Thank you, Harry from Manitowoc. Ed, hi.
Well, until we get every single lost industrial unionized job back in this country, we are not going anywhere with our...
Can't hear you very well, Ed.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, a little better.
Until we get every single lost industrialized unionized job back in this country that we have lost over a 50-year period, we are not going anywhere. And if you look at the McCain speech last week, the absolute hatred, the fact that he has enunciated that jobs won't be coming back. He makes this assertion. And then he has this chimera that basically states that we're going to create jobs in the future. This is the same mantra that we've heard from the Republican Party for 25 years now. And the Democrats have refused to challenge McCain on this issue. That organized labor has been absolutely dormant in getting out the vote. Where is David Newby and Sarah Rogers on the state AFL-CIO, John Sweeney on the national AFL-CIO? Basically to state that globalization is nothing more than a shibboleth for union busting.
Professor.
In terms of creating jobs here, I agree with you. One of the things that I would suggest is for the next administration is look at the issue whether we can take away the tax breaks that encourage companies to create new jobs abroad rather than at home. Now, currently, companies do get tax breaks. So that's something I think the next administration can take a look at.
Here's an email from Dave in Green Bay. From what I understand, drilling was talked about 10 years during the Clinton presidency, and we chose not to drill at that time as well. If we would have started drilling at that time, we'd be feeling the effect of it right now, correct? I feel that we have got to start sometime. We can drill and look at alternative sources of fuel and energy at the same time. Yes?
Yes. Obviously, we can start drilling at any time. But the point that I was trying to make earlier was that drilling is not the solution to our energy problem. We can continue to drill, but we do have to seriously look for some alternative solutions for having some, you know, giving some reprieve to the consumers in the short run, at least in the next 5-10 years.
Let's go to Marty from Douglas County. Hi, Marty. Oh, that's not Marty. This is Marty. Hi, Marty.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
This is just a personal little anecdotal observation that I thought I'd toss out here. Somebody has some money, and they are spending it. I'm an artist. I've been selling my work for about 30 years, and the galleries that I deal with, most of which are in Minnesota and Wisconsin, say that they have been having some of their best months this summer. And people are not just coming in and buying a mug here and a plate there. They are buying big, expensive pieces. Just sort of chatting with gallery owners, we're thinking perhaps it's many of these galleries I deal with are in sort of tourist areas. It's the one tank of gas vacation that people are taking. They put money aside to go to California and decided they couldn't do that, so they're traveling from the Twin Cities to southern Minnesota and spending the money they were going to spend elsewhere in a gallery there. And I'm just wondering if your guest has any thoughts about who's got the money.
That's a good question. Who's got the money, Professor Chowdhury?
In fact, we have seen that happening. In fact, I have also heard stories like this from other people, too, that because of the weak dollar, because of the weak economy, many people have postponed their trips overseas or to faraway places. Instead, they're going to places close to their home and spending that money for something that they need. Let's say, just to repeat the example that she just gave, your caller gave, instead of going to California, he's going maybe 40 miles down the road and spending that extra money for buying one of those art gifts. Yeah. So I have heard that in a couple of instances.
Yeah. It is very expensive to travel outside the country these days.
Yes, given the value of dollar, although dollar is stabilizing a little bit, so I don't expect dollar to go down anymore. But given the way it has fallen in the last couple of months, it has become expensive to travel to Europe, for example.
Yes. Thanks, Marty, very much for the call. Marilyn is next from Cleveland. Hi, Marilyn.
Good morning, Kathleen. I got your name right, right?
Yes, you did. I'm not Joyce. It's all right.
I have a question for the professor. Why does he not recommend stimulus the way President Roosevelt did it? Our parks, our bridges, our roads, our schools are crumbling. And Roosevelt employed people to restore all these things, and it was a stimulus for our economy. Instead of encouraging some private company to build a better towel, heating towel rack or something, wouldn't the common good be improved by spending the money that way, and wouldn't it also stimulate the economy?
Yes, I agree with the caller. In fact, that's one of the things I said earlier, that the next president needs to come up with some infrastructure development plan, which in turn would be the stimulus plan that she mentioned. That infrastructure needs to be developed. It will do two things. On one hand, it will improve the, you know, the infrastructure in these countries that are deteriorating, and on the second hand, it will provide the stimulus, you know, the added income that is required at this point in time. So, you know, I agree, fully agree with the caller on this point.
And thanks for your call. We will go next to Kyle from Appleton. Hi, Kyle.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Kyle.
My comment is about the drilling for new oil. It's a good idea because we can bring down prices, but at the same time, if prices do come down, there will be no ambition to search for alternative sources. So if we do drill, we just got to make sure that we stay focused on finding alternative sources, or we'll wind up in the same hole again 10, 15 years from now.
Professor Chowdhury?
Yes. As I said, I'll repeat again, I also agree that, you know, looking at alternative sources is what needs to be done at this point, yes. If the government wants to do drilling, that can do it on the side, but drilling it would not be a solution in the next 5-10 years.
Thanks, Kyle. Kay from Oshkosh, hi.
Right.
Go ahead, Kay.
Hi.
Hi, Kay.
I'd just like to say that, you know, I watched Sarah Palin's coming home speech last night, and she's promoting drill, baby, drill. And in Alaska, doesn't the sun shine 24 hours a day for certain times of the year? I mean, wouldn't they be better to go solar than to ruin the wildlife that we can never get back? I mean, didn't you have a show that said there's enough oil for 65 years? Well, 65 years is not even a person's lifespan, and you're ruining something for an eternity. The sun comes up every day.
Professor Chowdhury, what do you think of Arctic drilling?
Yes, I think this is an issue where Sarah Palin's position is a little bit different from John McCain's position. John McCain's doesn't want to drill in Anwar in Alaska, where Sarah Palin basically would like to drill anywhere. So I think there is a contradiction in the position. But I agree that, you know, drilling would not be the answer to Alaska's problem.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being with us. We'll look forward to your participation on Monday, and we need to have you on again. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much for giving this opportunity to come in your program.
Yes. Thanks. Yes, our pleasure. And our guest will be part of the forum that's taking place on Monday. It's the Way Forward. Marquette University is sponsoring a series of important discussions September 15 at 5:30. These are in the Alumni Memorial Union. The first one is in room 163, Jobs, Energy, and the Future of the Economy. We thank Professor Abdur Chaudhry, who has recently returned to Marquette from being chief economist of the United Nations Economic Commission in Europe. The next week, October 1st, it's not the next week, it's a couple weeks later, it will be on U.S. involvement in foreign affairs, then negative advertising, why it works. And then on October 30th, we will be taking our show to Marquette University. So all of you political enthusiasts, please join us. There will be a reception afterward. It will be in the Alumni Memorial Union Ballroom at Marquette, and we invite you to be there. If you'd like more details or to sign up, this is a free event, and there will be a reception after our live broadcast. 414-227-2047 for more information. 414-227-2047. And talk to Katie. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing this hour, John Treader for on-air production in our studios. News is coming up, and we'll return on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.